The Lord Almighty grant us a peaceful night and a perfect end.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
the maker of heaven and earth.
Let us confess our sins to God. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you through our own fault, in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. For the sake of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us all our offenses, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. May the Almighty God grant us forgiveness of all our sins and the grace and comfort of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
O God, make speed to save us.
O Lord, make haste to help us.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Psalm tonight is Psalm 32, starting on page 624. We'll read it in unison. Happy are they whose transgressions are forgiven, and whose sin is put away. Happy are they to whom the Lord imputes no guilt, and in whose spirit there is no guile.
While I held my tongue, my bones withered away, because of my groaning all day long. For your hand was heavy upon me day and night. My moisture was dried up as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you, and did not conceal my guilt. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Then you forgave me the guilt of my sin. Therefore all the faithful will make their prayers to you in time of trouble. When the great waters overflow, they shall not reach them. You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like horse or mule, which have no understanding. Who must be fitted with bit and bridle, or else they will not stay near you. Great are the tribulations of the wicked, but mercy embraces those who trust in the Lord. Be glad, you righteous, and rejoice in the Lord. Shout for joy, all you who are true of heart. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from Luke, chapter 15. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the wealth that will belong to me.' So he divided his assets between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant region, and there he squandered his wealth in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that region, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that region, who sent him to his field to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of the slaves and asked what was going on. He replied, Your brother has come, and your father has killed the fatted calf because he has got him back safe and sound. Then he became angry and refused to go in. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he answered his father, Listen, for all these years I have been working like a slave for you, and I have never disobeyed your command, yet you have never given me even a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, who has devoured your assets with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him. Then the father said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I like to cook. Sometimes I change my family's recipes just to be creative. They usually say, Didn't you have everything you needed in the pantry? This tastes different. The story of the prodigal son is so familiar to us that I'm tempted to try to tell it from one of the characters' perspectives, just to give it a little zest. We could talk about it from the father's or the older brother's, from the servant's, or maybe even the unmentioned mother's point of view. But really, I need to tell it just as Jesus told it. The story is like a basic chocolate chip recipe, and not to be messed with. There are actually three parables on the same subject in the first verses of Luke chapter 15, even though our lectionary skips over the first two. You remember the first one just as well, the 100 sheep that the shepherd leaves to go after the lost one. The second is like it, where the woman with the 10 silver coins loses one and sweeps the entire house until she finds it. Both of these stories have a celebration at the end, like the prodigal son story. Some theologians suggest that in Luke's gospel, rejoicing is a synonym for salvation. In verse 12, the son says, Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me. That sounds like the son wishes the father was dead. And since the father is now dead, the son says, Your last will and testament should read that I inherit half your wealth, so I'll take mine now. My grandchildren would say, This guy's the villain. He acts like a jerk, a fool, certainly not nice. My mother would have said, Bless his little heart. Little is the operative word there. Have you ever met anyone like this? Oddly enough, I know of a present-day situation just like this, where a daughter is suing her elderly mother for her share of the future inheritance. We will stay tuned to find out the rest of that story. Then there's the older son who feels he has been wronged for his obedience. I confess that I've felt like both of these sons at different times of my life. The best explanation for the older son might be from Robert Farrar Capon's The Parables of Grace, and I quote, The father is speaking to the older brother. The only thing that matters is that fun or no fun in the far country, your brother finally died to all that, and now he's alive again. Whereas you, unfortunately, were hardly alive even the first time around. Look, we're all dead here, and we're having a terrific time. We're all lost here, and we feel right at home. You, on the other hand, are alive and miserable. And worse yet, you're standing out here in the yard as if you were some kind of beggar. Why can't you see? You own this place, Morris, and the only reason you're not enjoying it is because you refuse to be dead to your dumb rules about how it should be enjoyed. So do yourself and everyone else a favor. Drop dead. Shut up. Forget about your stupid life. Go inside. Pour yourself a drink. Funny, but perhaps plausible. The only thing that bothers me about it is that I think the father in the parable is the God figure. Perhaps a better understanding of verse 31 is, "Oh, child, what are you talking about? Child, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours." The older son has been lost, too, even though he didn't realize it. It turns out the younger son had always been with the father, even when he was away. He was always in his heart, even when he was in a far country. That's just the kind of father he is. This is a classic parable of grace for all who admit that they are lost. In Jesus' three parables, we go from a lost sheep who was of some value to a lost silver coin that was of significant monetary value to a lost son, though once valued as a son, makes himself into a very grotesque and undesirable character. Most people would just write him off. The Pharisees would. But here is where the real story developed. Remember that second verse where the Pharisees say, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." Jesus heard this and set about to reveal the heart of God, telling them the three parables. Verses 11 through 32 are not about telling fathers to forgive naughty kids, shepherds to leave 99 sheep, or women to take better care of their money. All three reveal the heart of God, a heart that is surely broken by lostness, but sings with joy when even the silliest sheep or meanest of sons comes back. For all the somberness of Lent, these three parables talk about joy. Lent and joy might be described by some as an oxymoron like elementary algebra, jumbo shrimp, or deafening silence. But there is real joy for God during Lent. Every confessed sin, every ashen cross on a forehead, every dirge-sounding hymn about the crucifixion is joyous to a God of grace. That's because each such sentiment is being prayed, uttered, and sung by people who once were lost but now are found. Remember Psalm 32 we read earlier? Verse 1 says, "Happy are they whose transgressions are forgiven and whose sin is put away." Let's be found. Amen. Into your hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit.
You have redeemed me, O Lord, from God of truth.
Keep us, O Lord, as the apple of your eye.
Hide us under the shadow of your wings.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord, hear our prayer.
and let our cry come to you.
Let us pray. Look down, O Lord, from your heavenly throne and illumine this night with your celestial brightness, that by night as by day, your people may glorify your holy name through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Keep watch, dear Lord, with those who work or watch or weep this night, and give your angels charge over those who sleep. Tend the sick, Lord Christ. Give rest to the weary. Bless the dying. Soothe the suffering. Pity the afflicted. Shield the joyous, and all for your love's sake.
Amen.
I invite your intercessions and thanksgivings. For Elizabeth Varner. For Della. Guide us waking, O Lord, and guard us sleeping, that awake we may watch with Christ, and asleep we may rest in peace. Lord, you now have set your servant free to go in peace as you have promised. For these eyes of mine have seen the Savior, whom you have prepared for all the world to see, a light to enlighten the nations and the glory of your people Israel. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Guide us waking, O Lord, and guard us sleeping, that awake we may watch with Christ, and asleep we may rest in peace. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Almighty and Merciful Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless us and keep us. Amen.